I remember the Alamo.
That's good. You're supposed to remember the Alamo. Monty also remembers the Alamo.
He's very chatty today.
He wants to be on the podcast. We have a guest host on our 35th episode spectacular. It's our cat, Monty. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today is our 35th episode spectacular.
Woo! Ah! Yeah! Woo! 1,000,000 out of 10!
Yes, this is just sort of funny that it worked out that we're ending the season on our 35th episode. There's nothing really special about that. I just
35
think it's a cool,
is not a good number, Zach.
It's just kind of a nice round number. That's a number that you would end your, like, if you're moving the volume up on your TV, you'd stop it at 35.
Oh, 35 makes me so uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah. I like 25 a whole lot.
Well, I'm sorry to be uncomfortable for like 3 hours today because our 35th episode is our only three-parter in the entire series.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know what it is about 35. It just is not close enough to 50, but far away from 25.
It's the age you will die.
What?
Yes, this three-parter is called Utopia, The Sound of Drums, and Last of the Time Lords. So far this season, we've seen A Family of Blood, we've seen Weeping Angels, we've seen Traffic. All kinds of mystical science fiction-y things. Do you have any thoughts about what you might be expecting here at the end of the season?
Well, we've already seen Dalek, so I don't think Dalek will be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they do, but I don't think that is probable.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. We'll see.
That means yes!
It does feature the return of another thing you liked, though, as you probably see here in the thumbnail.
Captain
Jack Harkness comes back this episode. Yes, in the meantime, he has been doing his spinoff, Torchwood. I had debated on showing an episode of that, but honestly, I'm not super familiar with Torchwood, and I only kind of like it, so I didn't feel comfortable doing an episode on it.
One, because the fans didn't really ask. I put a poll out, and people didn't really seem that enthused by it.
The fans, he calls you.
We've got a decent following.
Congrats, fans.
We've got a decent following. We're good. We're fine. I mean, some of our fans are also our friends and family.
Our fans.
But in this episode, this sort of takes place after the first season of Torchwood. This is Captain Jack returning to the show after him having his own little spinoff show.
So when last we saw Captain Jack...
Yes.
He was stranded in the year... 200,100 on Satellite 5.
Fucking Satellite 5. Do we go back to Satellite 5?
Well, why don't...
Son of a bitch!
This is actually a really good lead-in to the Cassie Brafassi today.
Jeez Louise, dude!
How do you think Captain Jack boards the TARDIS again? If you would like some help, I have come up with some multiple choice options for this one, or if you would just like to freestyle it, go
no,
for it.
No, I need multiple choice. I've had a long day.
Okay, so, does Jack A, use his vortex manipulator, that's his little time bracelet, to track down the Doctor and get him to come help with this story's problem?
His Apple Watch.
B, Jack has been working with UNIT, and when the Doctor gets taken into custody by them, Jack springs him free, and they team up again. Or C, Jack just literally jumps onto the TARDIS.
So, 2 feels very likely.
Okay. Him working with UNIT, and then springing the Doctor free?
Yes, but I don't remember what UNIT is.
So, you remember when we went back and saw the classic episode with Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, where the third Doctor was working?
That's right. That's okay. I don't think it's A.
Okay.
Number 3 feels the most, like, dynamic, mm-hmm. like it, that feels like a very triumphant return, is him to just come jumping into the TARDIS. But I also think that that's how he entered the TARDIS the first time.
The first time he entered the TARDIS, the Doctor
teleported the TARDIS inside his ship before it was going to blow up. And then it had a little dance party at the end of the Doctor dances, where Christian Robinson could not snap on beat because the editor did not do him any favors.
Because my thought would also be, why would the Doctor be taken into custody?
I mean, he's been taken in before. He got taken in by Torchwood in Army of Ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Just because I'm so indecisive, I will go with number three, because that does feel the least likely.
Okay.
And I feel like that's kind of a trend for me, is picking things that I can really talk myself into and then having it be the most okay. unlikely.
All right, so...
Unless it is as point blank as, describe to me what a weeping angel is.
So Cassie guesses that Captain Jack Rebor joins the TARDIS crew by jumping onto the TARDIS. And the second question today also regards Captain Jack. In this, Captain Jack carries around a big backpack. And in that backpack is an item that was something important from a previous episode.
Oh, no.
What do you think that could be?
So the worst part about this question mm-hmm. is I had to regale to somebody who may or may not be a new listener. one of your questions, which was, what is in the Doctor's pocket?
What's the Doctor got in his pockets?
So in my head, I'm like, oh, it's gotta be the yo-yo. Or the cool rock.
Just to be a little bit fairer, it's not from the classic episodes. It's from, okay. It is from New Who specifically.
New Who. Like, truly, the only thing that I can think of is sonic screwdriver.
I didn't say it was important to the Doctor. It was just something important in a previous episode.
If it's the fucking tea thermos.
It'd be so funny.
So I know it's not the tea thermos. Is it the lunchbox with the time stuff?
Oh, the timey-wimey device?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to say it's the timey-wimey device from Blink?
I'm genuinely drawing a blank right now. Well, no, why would it be that? They just pulled that out of the ether.
Can I just say, I'm really laughing right now because your two guesses for this item are a thermos and a lunchbox. It looks like Captain Jack's just carrying around his schoolboy lunch in his backpack.
He's ready to go. My God, I forgot about the backpack fact.
Yeah, Captain Jack has it in a backpack. It's
that
Jack's
is
backpack.
So silly.
It's even sillier when you see it.
Something important
mm-hmm.
in a previous episode?
Mm-hmm.
How big is it?
I'd say it's probably about a foot long.
Oh, okay. That does change my answer slightly. It could still be the timey-wimey device. What was the thingy that unleashed the Daleks out of their little prison?
Oh, the Genesis Arc.
So it wasn't the Genesis Arc.
It's not the Genesis
Arc. Because also, you did have to think about that. It's not K-9, is it?
I think K-9's more like 2 or 3 feet long.
Okay.
I mean, it's maybe a foot tall. You just say it's K-9, so you can try to will it into existence.
Yes. I know he doesn't come back. I know that answer is wrong. And a foot tall. So no way that it could be the face of Bo either.
Nope.
That's important to me. Love the face of Bo.
Well, so I guess are we laying it out just on thermos? Just as a...
I genuinely cannot think of any other item other than Rose herself. But I don't think it's a whole human being.
Just Rose all curled up in a backpack.
Doctor!
I guess we'll go with Jackie Tyler's thermos of hot tea.
All right. So, Cassie's guesses for Utopia are that Captain Jack just hops onto the TARDIS, but he hops onto that TARDIS with a hot thermos of tea.
I know I'm wrong.
We will find out together as Cassie and I watch the first of this three-part finale in Utopia. This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by News Smoothie. Are you interested in current events? Do you need to stay up to date on all the things happening in your government? Do you just like to feel smarter than other people by saying you listen to the news? Well, News Smoothie is here to help. It takes all the important news of the day and blitzes it together into a fine powder. Then that powder is thrown in a shaker bottle, mixed up with some water and some ice, and then poured directly into your ear hole. Here's a quick sample for you. Wow. Don't you feel informed? I know I feel exactly like I do after checking out the news in its natural form. Just so tired. New Smoothie, part of this unbalanced media ecosystem.
And we are back from Utopia. So, Cassie, what'd you think?
He will never be him. Try as he might. He will never be.
So, Zach,
I need to know. How long have you known?
Ever since I ran away from you.
It's going to be my favorite response now to give to anybody.
Because, like, you commented that it was kind of sexual.
it was a sexual charge
between them.
It's also the fact that the doctor is bathed in this, like, red light, which both means emergency and sex.
But I think we should probably focus on maybe the
Rizmaster. Yeah, let's fucking talk about that motherfucker. Who, ironically, and I know I said this when we were watching it, ironically is dressed very much like the
Pertwee's
doctor.
Yeah, with the big poofy shirt.
Because I went, wow, interesting. Like, because I had made a mental note of doctor wearing big poofy shirt, specifically when I was buying the stuff to wear to Renfair. And I got it in my head that that was like a doctor thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we watched Pertwee's doctor, I went, okay, cool. That is a thing, but it's more specific to him. That's not really a Baker thing. That kind of is, or at least in my head, is the cemented, like, cool. If you're going to do a Pertwee doctor, it's like the burgundy sort of jacket and the big, dumb, like, poet shirt. So when this fucking professor guy popped on screen, I didn't say nothing because I wanted to save it for this part. I did have the thought of a doctor?
Because that was one thing I was really curious about. Was there a point before he said, I am the master, where you thought that was the master?
Yes. I didn't think that he was the master, which I also am very pleased that you did show me the particular Classic Who episode. Because this, right out the gate, this particular episode does remind me very much of Classic Who.
Yeah, especially, I think, because it's a three-parter and they're willing to let themselves pace out more.
Yes.
There's definitely
this
more.
This is a three-parter, but this could have easily been a six-parter or one of those,
yeah.
Like...
Like this could have easily been the first two episodes of a six-part story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, because I was trying to boil down what makes it feel like a classic episode, just because I'm not well-versed in it. I've watched two.
Mm-hmm.
As in, I've watched two stories, not two single episodes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm just clarifying for anybody who wants to call me out, but... There is something very particular about this episode that does feel very Classic Who. And it could just be that because they start out in a quarry. And I said, is that Scarrow? Because it looks just like it. But it's also a fucking rock quarry. Of course it looks
like.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Classic Who stories that take place at a rock quarry. Like,
but
even when we watched...
You know, even still, further vibe crossing, vibe passing... Is it takes place in a place that it's kind of like if you're watching old Star Trek episodes and you're like, yeah, that looks like the fucking desert. That looks like another planet they've been to. It's because it's probably Joshua Tree. Like there's certain things like this. So in Doctor Who's case, it's rock quarries.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the fact that it's taking place on a distant planet. Granted, this is the end of the universe, but irrespective, it's taking place in like what I would just refer to as a closed circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need me to elaborate on that? Or?
Yeah, elaborate a little bit.
So what I mean by closed circuit is they are not going to the far reaches of a continent. They are not it's not like Lord of the Rings, where you start in Hobbiton and you're going to all of these, you know, fabulous places. You're not going through the mountains. You're not going to Arendelle. You're staying in this one area. Same mm-hmm. with this. The stakes are extremely high, but they're in such a small quarter. And everything, all the actions, everything that happens is taking place in this one space at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
A closed circuit.
Yeah, the only time they're not there is the very opening where Cassie Professy point to you, Jack does jump onto the TARDIS.
Quite literally.
And then the TARDIS, trying to shake Jack off of it, travels all the way to the end of time.
Yeah. And also, I did not remember the Doctor getting his hand chopped off, because I forgot that he does a sword fight at the very beginning.
He does a sword fight, and then he grows a new hand, and it's a fighting hand. And that was the part that I remembered, was that you really liked that it was called, he called it a fighting hand.
I do like that. That does sound like a joke I would giggle at. never would have remembered that it would have been a hand in a jar, but I did make a little note, and I'll ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Does the hand come in handy?
I mean, there's a reason the hand is here for the story.
You didn't laugh, but maybe I should say it again louder. Did the hand come in handy? Thanks. I did just write down that future kind are ferals at Ren Faire.
Yeah, that was that's one of the biggest issues I had with this story, is that they go into the year 100 trillion, but they do nothing with it. It just looks
it's 100 trillion. They do have a single bug lady alien.
Yeah, they've got a single bug lady alien who is from the population that I guess the rest of them are extinct. The humans all just kind of look like humans. They don't do anything with them. And the Doctor hand waves it away. Is like, oh, yeah, the humans keep evolving, but they keep coming back to the same old shape. I'm like, that's so lame. That's the lamest excuse.
Well, especially since I don't remember if this was the same time that a lot of those studies with, like, pictures were coming out of, like, this is what people will look like in 100 years.
Right.
And it's like everybody has, like, the hunched back and the enlarged eyes and just look generally like me after I've dialed in all the espresso for the morning.
It just felt very like, why didn't you didn't do anything? They had 100 trillion years.
It feels a little lazy.
Yeah, like a lot of it is just like,
if it had been boiled down to,
and they also just drive a truck. There's just a truck they drive around.
It's Mad Max, but like dumb.
Yeah, because then all the future kind just have,
they've
like,
got sharp teeth.
They got sharp teeth and stuff on their face. They got like face paint, tattoos, scars.
Again, they're Ren Faire ferals.
Yeah, and then their doors. The door is clearly written to be one that can like open like a Star Trek door, because we see them like chain the gate shut. But then when Professor Yana opens the door with a big lever, for some reason the door opens anyway. Like, you chained it shut. That wasn't an electronic lock you put on it.
No.
Like,
it feels the same way that, like, my dad's house in Tennessee, they have a gate that has a sign that says warning electric fence.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a chain with a carabiner, and that is what keeps the fence closed. The warning fence electric is a lie. If you want to know how I know this, is I called its bluff and I grabbed it really hard, and I'm still here to tell the tale. So that's what that big dumb chain and that stupid switch are like. It's a warning electric fence sign zip tied to a metal gate.
It's one of those where you're like, clearly the aspirations didn't have, like, the aspirations could not meet the budget.
Even if they had said that this was the year 1 billion. If it's the fact that it's so far into the future, it feels unlikely. Now, if you had made the argument and made them look more animalistic, maybe even more Neanderthalic.
Yeah.
So that way you could plead the case of maybe time just looped back on itself again.
Mm-hmm.
People died out and then new people were evolved from a form of ape.
Yeah, it's...
And now everybody looks a little bit animalistic in quality because they had to become something close to human again and have a concept of utopia.
Yeah. It's just one of those where, like, I kind of wish I could see how they would do it with, like, today's Who budget, because I feel like it would look very different just by proxy of, especially now they have Disney money. It would just, I kind of wish I could see how it would feel now, because it makes sense they have to go to the end of time, because David Tennant says, you know, not even the Time Lords came here, because the Master is hiding here, away from the Time Lords.
Do we know why the Master put himself in a watch?
I believe you find out next episode.
Okay.
So I did, as you probably remember, I did tell you when we watched the classic episode that Roger Delgado tragically passed away.
Ugh.
And so what I said was true from a certain point of view. Roger Delgado did pass away. He never really got a chance to regenerate on screen. That doesn't mean the Master stopped.
I do like bringing him back, and I do like that I have a frame of reference for who the fuck that is.
Yeah, because they give no build-up to him whatsoever in this season.
Other than him, this professor looking like he could very easily be some kind of Time Lord, you could also allude that to him just being a quirky old man.
Yeah.
A big fucking dork, since he is the smartest guy he knows, working on this impossible-to-solve ship.
Yeah, and I also wanted to show it to you just because to give you an idea, because there's a lot of episodes I could show you where the Master's kind of goofy, but I wanted to show you one just to give you an idea of, like, hey, the Master is, like, a powerful character that actually means something. It's not just, like, what the fuck? Just to give you a little bit of history of what happened with the Master while in the interim since we've been gone. Because Roger Delgado tragically passed away, and they couldn't have him regenerate on screen, instead, the next one of the first times you see the Master with the Fourth Doctor, he looks like a fucking, like, burnt sludge monster.
Ew.
Like he's got, like, a face that is burnt and two big eyes.
So, Two-Face? But if it was all
Why don't I just
face?
Show you? I could just show you a picture of it.
Yeah. Follow-up question, how often or how many other times was Richard Delgado the Master?
Roger Delgado was the Master through the entirety of the Third Doctor's run, because Roger and John Pertwee were actual friends. And that's part of the reason why Pertwee left, is because Delgado passed away. And he didn't like doing the part without his friend anymore.
Aww.
Yeah, so Roger Delgado appeared in a total of 8 stories. And then Peter Pratt had this role in The Deadly Assassin for one story, and then Jeffrey Beavers took over, basically playing the exact same interpretation as Peter, because they both just look like fucked up burn victims. Because the idea is that the Master was trying to regenerate more than he should be able to, and got...
So my reaction of, ew, is...
I mean...
Ew! 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 Stupid! Take it away! Ew!
Anyone wants to look that up? You're more than welcome to look up the Peter Pratt Master.
Save yourself! Ew! You remember that internet meme, Momo? That's what it looks like. Do you remember her?
I don't remember that.
It's... Look it up, then.
after Jeffrey Beavers had it for one story... Anthony Ainley took over after that. He was the Master for the 5th through 7th Doctors. He appeared in a total of 11 stories. He's very clearly aping Roger Delgado a little bit with his appearance. But no one ever had the Riz Master quality of Roger Delgado. Roger was a, like, singular talent to play that character. And I think that was why they were, like, even when they did finally bring in a new Master, they were like, we can't have someone try to do his thing. We're just going to make him a little fucked up little guy. But then after Anthony Ainley, and when the Eighth Doctor had a TV movie here in America, the only canon thing for the Eighth Doctor, really, that also had a Master played by Eric Roberts, who basically played him almost like a vampire.
Can I say something, though?
What's that?
He does look a little bit like Neil Newbin. Like, they were made in the same factory.
And then now we have Derek Jacobi playing him mostly as Professor Yana. They have since used him to play the Master in Big Finish audio dramas. They brought him in to play the Master during the Time War. They call him the War Master. But at the end of this episode, he gets shot, and he gets replaced with John Sim. And this leads me to the Cassie Profassi for the next episode.
Oh, no! Wait, I wasn't prepared.
So you've seen the Riz Master, and you've seen Derek Jacobi's Professor. But you only got a little taste there at the end of what John Sim might be going for, and he could be totally different this episode. So what kind of Master do you think John Sim's regeneration as the Master is?
He did feel a little cheeky.
A little cheeky?
Yeah, which I know is a term that Captain Jack uses in reference to David Tennant Doctor. Says this version is cheeky, which is also one of my favorite things to say about people because it's inoffensive. Unless you got big cheekums, then it is a little offensive. But then that's when I refer to them as big cheekums, so it's okay. So I do think that this Master is a little... I feel like he's a bit more manic.
Okay.
Like, manic pixie dream time lord.
Like the Master's gone goblin mode?
I think so. Because you even saw it at the very tail end of this episode where he's... I forget what he is saying specifically to the Doctor, but he just goes, no. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This kid's a millennial.
Yeah, no, what he said is, what if we had a big moment where I explained all my plans to you and you could think about how to undo them? Nah.
Yeah. He's kind of a goblin man.
Yeah, just to be clear, also, cheeky, the definition is impudent or irreverent, typically in an endearing or an amusing way.
Yeah, okay.
And so for the second part of this, I'm going to make this, I think this is pretty easy, so we'll see how this one goes. At the end of this episode, they are stuck at the end of time because the Master is flying the TARDIS away. The future kind at the door trying to get to them. To chomp at their faces. How do you think they get out of this little pickle that they're stuck in?
They all drink a hot cup of tea. Is it Time Watch?
Time Watch? Apple Time Watch?
Is it Captain Jack's time bracelet?
His vortex manipulator is what it is called.
His time bracelet.
Yes. We will find out together on the next episode as we watch if this is the Goblin Master and if they get back to 2007 using the vortex manipulator as we watch The Sound of Drums.
You are my voodoo child. My voodoo child.
I was literally looking it up because I was going to play it.
Well, I guess that means we are back from the sound of drums.
Did you know? Did you see me typing it in?
I had no idea. I just thought it would be a fun way to open this part of the episode up.
Yeah, because I it's right here. Anyways. Well, there goes my funny bit.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin your bit.
Nah, it's fine.
So, this was The Sound of Drums, the second part of our three-parter here. What'd you think, Cassie? How you feeling about it?
So anytime things have anything to do with, like, subliminal messaging, and it's from this time period in particular, it just keeps going back to Josie and the Pussycats.
You know,
oh my
knowing
God.
Russell T. Davies' vibe, I feel like Josie and the Pussycats might be one of his favorite movies.
At least one that's like in the same way that How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is Tom Holliday's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Just one of those things where it's like it's just good. It's not a good movie. I like it, so it's good for me.
Well, now that you've got a full episode of him, how do you feel about this this John Sim Master?
He's giving me big Joker energy.
You know, you're not wrong. This like
it was
manic is a good way to put him. You definitely get that point because you described him very well.
Yeah, manic pixie dream master,
nightmare master.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah, it was him sitting at the like parliament desk, putting on a gas mask, and then the other guy saying like, "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, putting on a gas mask."
What? What are you putting on?
A gas mask.
Putting on a gas mask.
Why are you putting that on?
For this.
Yeah, it's just, and then just kills the entire
now,
British cabinet.
If it was the Joker, that would be Nitro, so they would all be laughing themselves to death. Yeah, they would. That would have been the master casting Tasha's hideous laughter.
I do really like, was one of them choking, because you're insane, and his response is just two big thumbs up.
Is Chocolophane an anagram for anything?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, because I know that this show likes doing that.
Yes.
Specifically, Professor Yana. You are not alone. Are you fucking kidding me, Face of Bo? So I was like, Chocolophane has to be something like that.
I could double check. I don't believe it is.
So I've been trying to figure out what it could possibly break down to, and the only thing I've got is one cat loaf. But I don't think that has anything to do with this episode.
That's my favorite song from Cats.
Turns out when the little scrying eye floating orbs open up, it's just a bunch of
So the Chocolophane, as far as I could tell, they don't have like an anagram. It was just a name that they had come up with.
It's one giant cat.
The Chocolophane
were... Those are all balls of yarn. Go ahead.
The Chocolophane were originally come up with in season one in case they could not get the rights to the Daleks. Which is why they have a lot of the same vibe with their, you know, they float around and they just shoot and kill things. Yeah.
It's the
exterminate.
Little, it's the little spiky spikes coming just out of the bottom, and it really makes me wonder. Like, yeah, they're threatening, but what is the purpose of that? Because at least Dalek has a design that is a little silly, but also threatening. Because yes, Plunger is Plunger, but that also means that when it extends, it can suck your fucking face off. little needles sticking out of the bottom of a ball does nothing when you have lasers coming out of the opposite direction.
I mean, I guess it's just, there's some kind of like, if they spin really fast, they come at you like a buzzsaw.
But no, because they don't approach anybody that close. That is spikes, pokey things like that are closed contact assault weapons.
Well, the only time we see them ever get really close to people are from their perspective, like when they're supposed to be the camera and the camera's flying towards
people.
Well, yeah,
but even still, you don't see them from a distance getting real close to anybody. Yeah. And if that's the case, how are the spiky bits supposed to be lethal?
I think...
Because they're not big enough to be knives. You can't die from multiple wounds.
Yeah, just I guess they just come in and just give you a quick... Psst. It's a quick little stab.
Humans aren't balloons, though.
Pop you like stupid. Pop you like a whoopee cushion.
Decimate.
That's a good word, decimate.
And me thinking, I'll decimate you in the bedroom. Not really.
He is weirdly horny.
Like everybody in this episode has been weirdly horny, Zach.
Yeah, that's true.
Had you remembered Doctor and Jack Harkness both flirting with each other while Jack is actively not dying?
Yeah, he's taking his shirt off to show off his other
shirt. You know if it was another channel, he would have taken everything off. They left him in his cute little A tank because it's the BBC and it's technically a family show.
I think it was just a white t-shirt, but yes. But yes, the Chocolophane were originally come up with to replace the Daleks. Were they not able to get the rights to the Daleks? Because, like I said, the Daleks were not owned by the BBC. The Daleks are owned by the Terry Nation estate. Can you imagine just for a second that Christopher Eccleston monologue happening?
But then yelling like, at a bouncy ball floating.
A little ball in the air. It's like, fantastic, fantastic. I saw it happen. I made it happen.
You lie. Well, because these ones do sound weirdly very human.
Yeah,
and I think
it's
just because they don't have any augmented voice. They do a little bit, but not in the good brain scratchy kind of way.
And it's not even just human. They sound like children.
Anti-feminist statement. I think it's because most of them are women, too, where it's like, I'm not threatened by that. You have to be a big, scary, groveling man voice. Darling, that's scary. Darling, that's not scary.
Unless the second one's carrying a knife and a laser.
Darling. Poke, poke. Darling.
I've got 4 little knives and a laser.
Darling, if you don't roll over and let me stab you in the butt, I'm going to kill you in the head with my laser. That's the only way that would be. Could you imagine dying to death because you got stabbed in the butt too many times?
Going back to everybody being too horny. The first time I really struck me when I watched this is when they first show the master as Harold Saxon and they introduce him.
The master and his wife.
And they do a full open mouth kiss on one another. Like it's really like they're trying to consume each other's faces.
What's her deal? Is she hypnotized?
Did
the master use all of his hypnotism to get her, but then everybody
it's
else?
It's a little unclear, but from the way the master talks about her, I think she's just his companion.
Okay, because I know that the reporter did mention that she's not particularly bright, and I went, that's kind of rude, but also, she didn't seem too offended by that, so I think it's I'm just a little bit wealthy and kind of stupid, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I do think they get into it a little bit more, why she's so dedicated to him next episode, but as far as just, their relationship, they are just a dark version of the Doctor-Companion relationship.
Oh my god, they're the bizarro version of the Doctor and Martha.
A little bit, whereas the Doctor does not seem to give Martha the time of day, the Master is married to his companion.
Oh my god. 18 months and married.
Yeah, right? But then after that, we've known that Martha has a crush on the Doctor basically all season, but this was the first time, the Doctor says, when you fancy someone but they don't seem to know you exist?
And then he literally skips off.
Yeah, and then Martha gives a look over to Jack and goes, you too?
I forget that the BBC owns Teletubbies.
Yes, that is true.
I forget that every single time. So whenever we're watching something that is owned or that is produced by the BBC, they can just kind of plug in Teletubbies, i.e. The Goes Wrong Show.
Yeah, The Goes Wrong Show did do that. There was also, that's actually a fun reference to the classic series where the Master does not seem to understand that those are men in costumes. He seems to think those are real aliens that are broadcast onto TV.
What are you watching? It seems to be a rather interesting extraterrestrial life form. Only puppets, for children.
Oh.
I mean, he does in this one, too.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's a callback to a classic scene where he does the same thing.
It's so funny.
Yes.
He does not question at all the baby in the sky. Oh, and we got more Time Lord lore.
So basically what they talked about is when... Time Lords are not all Gallifreyans. Time Lords are an elite sector of Gallifreyans. Not everyone is able to travel in time. Not everybody gets a TARDIS, those sorts of things. So as part of
the
initiation to become a Time Lord, you have to look into the time.
My eyes.
You have to look into the time vortex.
Okay.
And they said that basically looking into it creates a different reaction in different people. So some people will run away.
Similar to Rose looking into the...
A little bit, yeah.
In the heart of the TARDIS.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
As a novice, he was taken for initiation. He stood in front of the untempered schism. It's a gap in the fabric of reality through which can be seen the whole of the vortex. You stand there, 8 years old, staring at the raw power of time and space, just a child. Some would be inspired. Some would run away. go mad.
So this is just sort of like the premises that these drums that they're talking about now have been with the master his entire life since he looked into
His entire existence.
Yes. Across multiple incarnations.
He's heard this.
Even though this is the first time we've ever heard him talk about it.
Yeah.
Character's been on TV since the fucking 70s. What do you mean he's had these in his head his whole life?
I mean, as a vehicle and means of mass hypnosis through code and rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I like the justification.
And it also was just a nice, like, motif to let you know when the master's around. Like, you got the people, like, banging on stuff with...
The homeless person with the coin in the cup.
Yeah, that was one. There was the guy who was just, like,
listening to his headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Martha did it when she was talking about how she just liked Saxon.
Yeah, so there's an interesting idea here where... Basically, the master is crazy, and all he wants is for everyone else to be crazy in the same way he is. He wants them all to hear the drums.
He doesn't want to be alone.
The master introduces the world to the Toclophane, and that apparently makes the UN upset because there's procedures for it that the master ignored. And the president of the United States comes in.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam. From the year 2007, so that means he was definitely some kind of pastiche of probably Bill Clinton and George W. Bush.
I mean, this man even kind of looks like if those two ran really fast into each other.
Yeah, so the president steps in because America, even in British media, must make everything about themselves. They pegged us. I gotta say, that's the Americans' version of calling Australians out with or nor. Yeah, that's like that was when the Australians like got good, but Americans making everything about themselves, that's dead on the head.
It was even the little Toclophane saying, "Where's our master? We like master better." And then him saying, "Well, I could be master if that's God's bidding.
Like, if that's what you guys want, I'll be your master.
You can call me daddy if you'd like." Like, that's all I could hear is just somebody saying, "Well, if you say so, of course."
"If you insist, I guess I'll be your master and you'll have to do my bidding.
I suppose I'll be your dommy mommy, only because you said so. Your words, not mine."
"But that means I get to decide on the safe word."
Which is, "Stop, please, you're hurting me."
Which is,
That's your safe word.
That's the sound he makes when he gets shot with a laser.
When he gets freaking Thanos snapped out of existence. Good Lord.
Yeah, he turns into dust.
There's not even a pile left behind. He's just eviscerated and turns into the air.
Evaporate him and his clothes.
That'd have been really funny if just his suit just...
I mean, that happened in the last one with the Stet radiation. That guy disintegrated and then his suit collapsed on the floor. And then they get onto the aircraft carrier, which isn't a thing that I guess it carries aircrafts, but is itself also an aircraft, a thing we wouldn't see until the MCU did it like 5 years later.
It still bugs me in the same way that there are those aircraft carrier ships,
mm-hmm,
that also sometimes have other boats on them. It's like, just pick a lane. It's like ferries having, not like flying ferries, but the ones that can take boats across, or is a boat and takes cars across.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's something about vehicles carrying other vehicles that really just makes me so miffed.
It is kind of funny when they first announced the aircraft carriers, because we can't do this on sovereign soil. We've got to go to an aircraft carrier, because they mean they need to be in international waters. But the odds are still you're going to be on American property, because America has the most aircraft carriers of anyone on the planet. There are 47 total aircraft carriers in the world, and 11 of them belong to the U.S.
Jeez Louise.
This has to be on neutral ground.
Oh,
and by
God.
Neutral ground, I mean my ground.
America needs to take a chill pill.
Yes, this is kind of funny. And then they get onto the aircraft carrier and they find the TARDIS has been turned into a paradox machine.
Is this what I think it is? It's a paradox machine.
I didn't get it.
What's not to get, Cassie? The doctor says it very dramatically, so you have to know what it means when he says it's a paradox
and
machine.
And they do a weird Dutch angle from very up high, and they slowly zoom in on his face. I still didn't get it.
That's because they haven't fucking explained what that is yet.
Okay. So I was like,
I don't know why they shoot it that way. Like, we have any idea what that means.
It looks like when you're taking silly pictures of your friends and you use the, like, fisheye lens and you go from the forehead down. So it's just all forehead. Or, like, those 360 cameras.
Yeah, just...
But, it like, not in a jokey joke sort of manner.
Yeah, just they treat it all dramatically. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yikes! That sounds scary.
I mean, the doctor certainly sounds like that's a bad thing, so I guess I'll take his word for it.
Yep.
But it's not the worst thing that happens to the doctor, because when they get to the bridge of the ship, after the master assassinates the president...
And then also kills Jack Harkness and says, it's okay, he won't be dead for long, and then I get to kill him again!
Yeah, then he... decides to make I'm going to age the doctor 100 years. I took all of Lazarus's technology and stuck it in my laser screwdriver.
I guess it is still a screwdriver, because he goes, I made this one a laser.
Who would ever choose Sonic over a laser?
You said that very Sonic-y.
Who would ever choose Sonic over a laser? Sounds like a robotic thing to do. Gotta go fast.
Master Robotnik. Oh, no!
The Robot Masters.
Anyways.
That's from Mega Man. That's the wrong franchise.
I don't know a Mega Man. You're my Mega Man.
Megan Man?
Oh, yeah. And then every detail of the Valiant was designed by the Master. Every detail. Even the aesthetically pleasing purple and orange lights in the carrier.
I got them from a nightclub out in Nevada.
I went to Meow Wolf in the future, and then I came back.
So the master says that he gave the technology to Lazarus, and then once Lazarus solved it, he stuck it all in his little pen.
It also was no mistake that Tish got a job working for Lazarus. He's been leaving little clues all along.
Which is just like, why? Why did that doesn't make any sense. Why does she need...
Why did you bring Tish into this?
It's just very, it doesn't make a lick of sense. It just doesn't. This is a very silly episode, especially when the master uses that technology to age the doctor 100 years.
Which, to be fair, this is the first time they've done old age makeup where I went, wow, it actually looks pretty okay.
Yeah, the old age makeup looks pretty okay. The aging process certainly could use some help, though.
I need to see that footage in real time.
Of David Tennant just flailing around.
Just freaking out. Please.
Cranking it up to like times 20 speed. So it just looks like he's flailing really hard.
Because I'm really happy that we have what David Tennant was actually saying in the steps for Martha.
Uh-huh.
Of
bingle bongle dingle dangle.
Yeah, love that we have that, which means that there, somewhere in the internet sphere, exists the footage of David Tennant before it was sped up to irrecognizable, like, blurs and speeds. My goodness.
It was so silly. Like,
it looks stupid.
Another one of those moments where, like, man, you had an idea, but you did not have the money for it.
Well, that's kind of like, I always... It is a little bit of a cop-out, but it does look okay, so I give it a pass. Whenever there's a transformation like that, and you see it a lot in stage because it's easier, where the character is transforming and they thrust their body forward because presumably they're wearing a jacket, a cape, or something, and then they can do the transformation on stage but under the cover of a cape.
Mm-hmm.
Something. They do it in Into the Woods, mm-hmm, as well when the witches... being transformed into her more beautiful self is she, like, tucks her body away and, you know, the actor can slowly remove bits and pieces off whatever is making them look old and then reveal, their form. I think they also do it in Shrek, too. Fiona has a quick onstage change. Irrespective, the point that I'm getting at is it has become a very common thing to just kind of curl up and get small while you're changing, so that way then you can have that dramatic reveal of looking up. And they have the doctor do that after he's done flailing about for like 30 minutes, it feels like.
Yeah.
I understand that it's, we're compressing 100 years into realistically like 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Too long. That needs to be like a 5-second transformation. You see it once, you see everybody else's reaction, you can hear the doctor freaking out, and then you go back and you see him huddled on the floor, so that way you can get
it's just too much.
And look up.
Yeah, it's just, it's very, I don't know if camp is even the right word.
It's campy.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I guess that
it's
might
just
it
a little, it's silly. It's needlessly silly. Like, there's no dramatic payoff from watching the doctor flail for an hour and a half.
Yeah. And then he's just bald now. He's got little wispy white hairs, and he's got the jowls on that man.
He's got them hound dog jowls.
Yeah, he looks like Droopy Dog, exactly.
Oh my god, he totally does.
You know what? I'm the doctor.
See, that's the other thing, though, is that, and this is a little bit of me bashing on baby girl David Tenney, doesn't really change his voice too much after having been aged 100 years.
I also, in thinking about it, I wonder if the old age makeup works so well on him because he has such a thin face.
So when you pack it, kind of like Doug Jones.
Yeah.
And how he is literally a skeleton covered in sheets of flesh. So anything you put on top of him looks natural because you're only adding mass mm-hmm. onto what is effectively just a wire skeleton. So that could be the case. And, yeah. And that could very easily be, because when you have a rounder face and rounder features, adding more stuff on just looks silly. Cough, cough, Lazarus. But Davey Tenney, there's not a lot there already.
Yeah. Well,
but it was the specificity of like the purple in the, like, inner corner of the eye and, like, the layers of red and other colors, like, around on his cheeks and mm-hmm. his big old nasty pores. but he still has young eyes, so.
Well,
that's how I know it was makeup and not actually happening in real life, or else I would be really freaked out right now.
Well, I think we've talked about this one enough. Let's get on to the Cassie Profassi a little bit for the next episode.
Sure.
I've got one that's, I think, kind of
for the record right now, for anybody counting along at home, I know nobody isn't. I'm 45 correct out of 78 questions.
Yep, that's true, because you got both questions right this time.
Master's Manic and Time Bracelet.
Yep, Master was going goblin mode. He was Possum Master.
Possum Master.
So I've got two more questions for you here.
Okie dokie.
One that is a little more plot centric, and one that I think is just going to be kind of fun for you to see, because the second one just happened because I was rewatching this episode and went, "What the fuck?" So we'll get to this one first. You heard at this point that the master says that if the doctor finds out what the Toclofane are, it would break his hearts. What do you think the Toclofane are?
Oh, no. I'm guessing not cats. I want to say it's Dalek related, but also there was a lot of female sounding voices. And mm-hmm. I don't think we've had like a female sounding Dalek.
Yeah, the Daleks, I believe, are maybe not genderless, but they all sound the same.
Hey, Zach, could you give us an example of that, please?
Exterminate!
Okay, thank you.
Hello! Exterminate!
Thank you.
Mrs. Dalek Fire. Instead of a drive-by shooting, it was a run-by fruiting!
Did you know I've only seen Mrs. Doubtfire once? And then several times on TV, just in broken bits and pieces.
Help is on the way, dear!
A really nice Dalek just trying to see its children.
Dalek nanny.
Wait.
With like a little apron around
no,
him.
No, this is so... But everybody's like, oh, it's just a nanny, even though it's clearly Dalek in a nanny outfit. Like so then when the big reveal comes...
Like it's like the Brady Bunch, but Alice is just fully a Dalek the entire time.
Oh my god. Wait, that's really funny.
Jen, you should be nice to your sister. It is not always Marsha.
I'm still really laughing at Mrs. Dalek Fire. It's the ignorance of everybody else being able to see that this is clearly a robot wearing a wig and like extra padding in places to make it look fat,
but even it's still, it's a
still a Dalek.
Like it's wearing a wig, but there's still a full eye stalk coming out of it.
It uses its plunger this time for good, not evil.
At some point, like, someone thinks he's gonna fight out the there are Daleks, and the Dalek smashes their face into a pie. Hello.
I don't want to guess. I'm too delighted by Mrs. Dalek Fire.
Well, unfortunately, you've got to guess. That is the Cassie and Cassie. What do you think the Taclofane are?
Mrs. Dalek Fire.
So you think they're Daleks or Dalek related?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I want them to be, but we already saw them.
Yeah, we did already see them.
And they only come once a season.
They're required to come at least once a season.
So there's a chance.
Yep, there's always a chance.
I don't know, because they also don't have the candor. If this is more Slitheen, I'm going to start throwing things.
Inside are just like baby Slitheen piloting them around.
That's why they sound like children. Fuck. Okay. Is it an alien race that we've met before or no?
In a sense? I mean, you have met them before.
New Who or Classic?
New Who.
Okay. So it's not Clamantha.
Not Clamantha, no.
Or I was thinking specifically Dalek Embryo.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically speaking, they're in both New Who and Classic Who.
So it could be Dalek Embryo.
Could be Dalek Embryo if you wanted to.
I think so.
Okay.
I just... Because we haven't seen any, like, intelligent child alien race.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the that also echoes back to what I said, where the Taclofane were meant to be Daleks if they couldn't get the rights to them.
Yeah, there's enough arrows pointing to it being Dalek-related, mm-hmm. but I don't think that it is. Well, because especially since, like, Dalek Sek, not there, because he died as a human.
Yep, Dalek Khan is the one that escaped.
Dalek Khan. Yeah, Sek did change.
Yep, Sek was the one that changed.
But there's also, especially since the Doctor did bring up and tell the Master that it was between the Time Lords and Dalek.
Serving Dalek, cunt.
Anyways. So I'm going to say that it is, will I still get a point if I say it's Dalek oriented?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll say they are Dalek related. That way we could be a little open to that if you want. Okay. And then this one, as I said, when I was doing my rewatch for this to take notes, I had forgotten this actor was in there so much that when I saw their face, I went, what the fuck? This episode prominently features an actor that we both really like from a show we both really like. I would like for you to guess what that actor is.
You did say Simon Pegg earlier.
Simon Pegg was in. It's already been an
episode. I know, yeah. I know. So I know it's not Simon Pegg.
Yeah. I mean, I will tell you just to trim it down a little bit, they are also British.
Man or woman? Can I ask that?
I don't want to get more specific if I can avoid it.
Please?
It's a man.
Okay. Because my immediate guesses were Tom Hiddleston or Matt Berry.
Okay.
Because I could see you going, what the fuck? But I also, can I cheat a little bit? And I'm not, I want to just see their respective ages so I know how old they would be during 2006.
Okay. Yeah, you can look those
that's,
two up.
That's, I feel like that's a fair thing. Yeah. Okay, so 1981 is when DJT Hiddles.
That would make him 26 at the time.
Okay, so a reasonable enough age, and definitely, I think he was acting then.
I mean, I imagine he would have to have been. Probably would have been more of a stage actor at the time.
Oh my God. Good for him. Matt Berry was 1974.
Oh, okay. So that would have made him 33.
Okay, so both are...
No,
like,
wait. Yeah, no, 33. Yeah,
he's 50 right. This year.
Yep.
It looks good.
It does look good.
I can't think of any British TV shows that you and I watch together. Because even What We Do in the Shadows is American. It just
I didn't say the show was British. I just said the actor is British.
Okay. Well, in a show we like, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be Loki. Mm-hmm. Could be What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're watching Dungeon Meshi. I don't think it's anybody from that. Literally do not remember any of the shows that we watched together that we like. Except
I can't remember anything I liked ever.
I don't even know what we're doing right now. We're recording? I will say Hiddleston.
Alrighty, so Cassie's guesses are that the Toclofane are secretly something Dalek-related, and that there's a special guest appearance, or prominent appearance, from actor that we both like, and show we both like. The actor is Tom Hiddleston. We will find out together as we watch The Last of the Time Lords.
The doctor! I believe in doctor!
I do believe in the doctor. I do.
I do believe in doctor.
I do believe in doctor. So that was The Last of the Time Lords.
Ooh-wee.
The end of...
Remember when I said closed circuit? I didn't think that Martha was going to travel the whole world on foot, yet here we are.
the whole world on foot just to get right back to England where she sees Lucifer.
Yeah, where she meets the King of Hell.
Right. As you could imagine, like, that was why... Because it's not impossible to believe that, but if you don't know that, it is kind of weird to see Tom Ellis... Not ask Martha, what is it you desire?
For those of you at home, Tom Ellis is the main character, or is the actor, who plays Lucifer in the show Lucifer, which is one that Zach and I really liked, that I completely forget exists sometimes, which tells you how much I like it. Because here's the thing, I started working at Warner Brothers right as they were finishing recording the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it switched over to the Netflix. Am I 80?
Even though it switched over to the Netflix, I'd still watch it every now and then.
Okay, shut up. But even though it had switched over to Netflix, they still had their studio recording space at Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had heard lots of stories about how Tom Ellis would ride on his little bike around the studio lot, and his bike had a little Union Jack on the back, and he would wave to the tour vans. And I was like, there is a non-zero chance that I will actually benefit from this working at Warner Brothers bit. But the week I started was their last week of filming.
I feel like he still should have gone around on a bicycle.
For one more year.
Just for old time's sake.
For me. Anyways, that's just a little...
Yeah, that was so wild to be what I... Because I watched this just last night to get my notes. And so I was in the office watching it, and our roommate Haley was over my shoulder at their desk. And I went, what the fuck? And she turned to be confused as to what was going on. Meanwhile, I was just so shocked.
To see Tom Ellis.
Playing Tom, not Ellis.
Or Hiddleston, yeah. Which, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm glad that I...
That was one of those, like, when you...
Could not have been more incorrect.
No, you could have been more incorrect. You at least got Tom right. You got the first name.
True.
It was the last name you got wrong.
Mm.
So, I guess, before we get... into any kind of weeds here. How did you like this finale? This our first three-parter.
Hoo-wee. Where to start? I'm upset that I didn't have the thought of... It's not even that I didn't remember the Utopians. I had the thought about, like, oh yeah, they flew off into the cosmos. Surely they will come back in some capacity. And I kept having that thought, but I didn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little upset at myself for that, for not listening to that quiet screaming that the Toclofane didn't have something more to do with
the Daleks.
Well, no, it's only because I had the very distinct thought of they don't sound Dalek. They don't have the same, even if they don't have the same voice, they don't even have the same manner of speaking. They sound too human.
I had wondered if you would get to that thought just because, you know, the Master says it would break your hearts if you knew what they were, because they're all humans, which are the Doctor's favorite little pet race.
Yeah. Ugh. So, a little upset at myself for not figuring that out.
Yes, unfortunately, no points to Cassie for this last episode. So
that's okay.
I think you got 50-50 over this three-parter, though, because I think you got one first episode, two second episode, and then this third one. So I think you got a solid 50-50 at least. So that's not nothing.
Yeah, I mean, a cool 45 out of 80.
Yeah, so I think the thing I want to say first is how much the end of this episode does not make any fucking sense. Everyone around the world think the word doctor at the same time because the Doctor has worked himself into the psychic matrices.
I mean, the number of times that they have said that something has to do with low, or what I've metabolized and have remembered as low-key psychic powers.
Yeah, I mean, the Master is, like I said, the Master is hypnotic. The Doctor can do that whole, like, if we put our hands on each other's heads, we can read each other's minds sort of thing. It's just very silly that it manifests as 900-year-old Smeagol hears all everybody chant the word doctor and he glows
and starts flying in the air.
It starts de-aging, turning back into his old age, and then can just poof away lasers and psychically throw away screwdrivers. And
if you think doctor real loud, he turns into God.
Right? And he just floats towards him, is like, "You've done this, Master. You have brought this on yourself." A hug.
I forgive you. He truly is Jesus Christ in that moment.
Dr. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ, PhD.
Jesus Dr. Christ.
Jesus PhD Christ. Too many middle names.
You killed it. you were the one bit too many. Now we have to circle back to five.
The goodness is this episode taught us what we could go back in time just by shooting something real hard.
Yeah. But only the people in this room will remember.
Yeah, that we were in the eye of the storm. I also really like that in the first time we see the paradox, we see that he's like, I can't take it apart, not unless I know what the paradox is. And now that he knows what the paradox is, he's like, oh, okay, you could just shoot it then. Like, you know, I don't need to be like careful and
just
dismantle.
Just blow up the TARDIS.
Just take your machine gun to it. It'll be fine. Just like, what?
I do wonder how many times Captain Jack can get shot before he actually dies. Because he was being shot out quite a bit.
I mean, we've seen when he dies.
Hey, pops right back up again.
No, Cassie. We saw him die.
Shut up. I refuse.
Earlier this season.
I fucking refuse. It's him at the very end of the episode talking about shut up. I'm talking. How he's the poster boy.
For the Beauchene.
Shut up! I'm talking, Zach. For the Beauchene Peninsula, and the, you know, as a nickname, they would call him the Face of Beau, the Face of Beauchene Peninsula. Me, Martha, Zach, the Doctor, all had the same look of what?
I knew that was coming. I just slowly turned to see what Cassie's face is gonna look like. As that moment happened, as he says, "The Face of Beau," they called me, and she went, you looked almost offended.
I am almost offended because it started with him saying, say I live to be a million years old. Like, what does that mean for me? Since I can't seem to die, but I also can't stop aging.
Mm-hmm.
What will I look like in a million years? You know, back home, Beauchene Peninsula, I was the poster boy, they called me the Face of Beau. And then the entire time saying, well, there's only one of his kind.
How does it, I mean, I thought you would find it kind of nice that two of your favorite characters are actually you.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I love that.
Maybe it feels bad because now you have one fewer favorite character and they're just the same being. I mean, it does also explain how the face of Bone knows about Professor Yana. Because Jack was there.
All this wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit makes me so mad sometimes.
Bullshit woolshit.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey wool.
Like, especially now, because you've seen what Roger Delgado brought to the Master from day one.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first story he ever showed up in. He walked out in a slick gray suit, mind-controlled people, and was all around, as you described him, a Riz Master. This one shows up just like a fucking weasel.
My balls will kill you all. They're going to do it. I have drums in my head.
It was at the very, since we're just kind of zip-zooming all around this episode, it's the fact that the doctor wants him to regenerate so bad, and he goes, no, I win.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that the doctor's like, I guess I'll just have to keep him in the TARDIS, and, like, I'll have to watch over him forever, and, because he's my responsibility now, and the Master's like, I don't want you're making me your pet? No, I don't want to do that.
Which I always do like stories that end with somebody dying out of spite. Like, I say this with a, like, I think it's so funny. It's still a little sad. My great-grandmother died out of spite because she got to a point where she was in the hospital and everybody said, ooh, yeah, you're going to have to go to a home and have constant 24-hour help. And she didn't want to do that. She was stubborn. So the day after she got home from the hospital, she died that night. She would rather be dead than live out the next handful of years in in an assisted care facility.
And
that
I'm
woman
out.
Died out of spite.
All right, everybody. Peace. I'm fuck all y'all. I'm out.
Basically.
I mean, I feel like that's how Betty White went. Betty White was like, I'm going to have everyone say really nice things about me, about how great, how much they love me, how great it is I'm about to turn 100. And then right before I have to show up and do anything, any effort myself, I'm going to die. Everyone has to say all these nice things to me. I'm not going to do shit. Bye.
Yeah, so death out of spite is so funny to me. Just because in that scenario, nobody wins. You're dead. You can't look at the consequences of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the Master wins. I just want the Doctor to lose.
Oh. Will the Master's ring be important later on?
Yes.
Okay. Because it was a specific feminine red-nailed hand. I can only assume that that's his companion.
Yeah, that's the thing. So,
since she's the one that killed him.
The
which, like, good for her. Pop off,
queen. I'll put it this way. The Master has died before. Like, this isn't the first time the Master has supposedly been dead for good. They just don't always explain it.
Yeah, because we also watched him burn.
Yeah. So, to go into a little bit of the idea here, At least I feel this is how it's meant to be taken. The Master and the Doctor have a sort of magic versus science bit about them, where yeah. The Doctor is more of a scientist and the Master is more of a wizard who just kind of can do whatever he needs to make the story happen. And the Doctor uses his big brain to overtake him. And that's sort of evident a little bit here in the sense that the Master waves around a laser screwdriver like it's a magic wand.
Yeah.
At one point, I even made the joke that he pointed to Martha's bag and went, Avada Kedavra!
Yeah.
Just, he's got this hypnosis power. A lot of the stuff he does seems to really just be like, I can do whatever I want, really. At one point, when the Doctor is regenerating, it seems that the Master can just infect his dream and just goes, die, Doctor! Die, Doctor! For seemingly little to no explanation. They never overtly say that. But that's sort of the vibe that I get, is that the Master is meant to be more of this sort of magical, like, gremlin or imp character. And then the Doctor is a scientist, and so there's this magic versus science dynamic that they have.
Oh, Tweety Bird Doctor?
Oh, God, yeah, when he does a little more flailing around earlier in this episode.
Oh, my God, he does more flailing and...
His britches get too big for him.
Yeah. Does do the, like, humans in 100 years thing where he is hunched over and his eyes are too big for his skull.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why he gets so small. Like, his eyes stay the same big, but physically he tiny. He Benjamin Button, but, like, old man baby.
I mean, I feel like maybe there's... Obviously, we don't know what a 900-year-old humanoid would look like. So, if I had to assume it is exaggerated...
Yeah, but your teeth wouldn't get smaller, too. Like, there's a good chance that your bones would break and just kind of disintegrate into your body.
Yeah, I don't know exactly
But your teeth wouldn't get that much small. You wouldn't have teeth.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very strong chance that part of why they made him that small is because if they make him that small, they don't have to worry about as much detail.
They put him in a fucking cage.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when you're seeing his hands, you don't have to see big hands. You could see little ones that are just...
Well, yeah, but even still, you're having to fight the details of the cage.
I also like that for some reason, getting old also just makes you, like, dark brown.
I also like that getting old, you still sound the same.
Yeah, he got... It was less like he got old and more like someone put him in a rotisserie cooker.
It's more like somebody put him in an air fryer.
How long do I set the doctor on the air fryer? 360 for 12 minutes, you say? Mmm, tasty.
900 years?
If I put him in for too long, he'll shrivel up like a raisin.
Yummy. The stupid gun.
Oh.
I like that as a conceit because I did look at all of the, like...
Flavors of Kool-Aid?
Yeah, and I went, that looks like a toy. This is fake. Because that is not convincing whatsoever.
In fact, I think it was...
It's all red 40 and hair gel.
I think the gun itself was like the gun that you use when you're injecting caulk into things.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, they just like they strapped like part of a Nerf gun onto a caulk injector and then spray painted it gray, and then he was like, "Here, take these different vials of Kool-Aid with you. If you get thirsty, drink one and just tell them you're missing it.
If you mix all three core flavors with the fourth mystery flavor, you'll kill him."
But if you guess the mystery flavor, you win a trip to Fiji.
You get to go on a cruise with Zach and Cody.
I do like at the beginning of the episode they establish it as 1 year later.
Not one-ish years. It's exactly 365 days. It's not like, okay, cool. We're almost hitting the year mark where it's like 363 days or something.
Or, you know, it's been just over a year. No, it's...
Precisely on the day.
365. Well, especially because I remember that feeling... Like, if you don't know what's going to happen, if you don't know that time reverse is about to happen, I'm reminded of when we first saw Avengers Endgame, and, like, that title card of 5 years later pops up.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those where you're like, oh, shit, they're being really serious about this. And then Avengers kind of stuck to it. But Doctor Who went, nope, time tornado. You guys are in the eye of the time tornado, so you all have to deal with it. Everyone else, though, uh-uh. All they remember is that the Toclophane shot the president.
I like that in that world, the American president is still dead, and now Great Britain is short a prime minister.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, God. I mean, America in that world must be so much worse if Dick Cheney became president even for a year.
Yipes. And then at the end, or after all this, for one brief moment, everybody knew the name, Doctor. But then after the time tornado... You've been conveniently lost.
Everyone's forgotten who you are, Doctor, and everything can go back to normal the way everything normally is here.
Normal.
Normally normal, normal.
I do like that Martha makes the decision to stay behind herself just because realistically, for the past year, she has been living her life without the Doctor. Yes, she's been telling everybody about him.
Mm-hmm.
And talking all about the Doctor to everyone she goes to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also like, for the past year, she's been worried about her family. And now she's in a spot where everybody is back together.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's okay and safe.
Well, they're not okay. They're traumatized in a way.
Well,
that,
they're okay in the sense that nobody is dead.
Yeah, nobody.
Like, that's what I mean by okay.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's missing any limbs and everybody still has their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for lack of a better term, everyone's okay. And now she, as somebody who has been able to travel the world and preach about the doctor.
You know, typically when medical students take a gap year to travel the world, that's not really how it goes.
But, you know, her saying, like, there are people who need me. I need to take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, because that does feel like a very real reason why Martha would choose to leave. Especially, you know, somebody like myself. I'm pretty close with my family.
Mm-hmm.
If something happened that was took me away for a whole year and then I had the opportunity to go back and actually feel like I was contributing to something,
mm-hmm.
yes, I would.
Well, it's also that she even says that her family is traumatized and so she wants to stay partly to take care of them.
Yeah.
But then she conveniently turns right back around and tells the doctor off a little bit for blowing her off all this time.
Yeah. I do like that,
mm-hmm.
but also I find that it is very common, even when you do tell people off, even if in that context, 9 times out of 10, they don't know that you're talking about them.
So the doctor still has no idea that Martha's yeah. interested in him. I like that the doctor also kind of knows that she's about to say it. He tries to, like, doctor it off and be like, why don't we go visit this peninsula right now? It's like the sky is like oil on water. It's beautiful. And Martha's like, nah, fam. And he's like, yeah, okay, I kind of know what's coming. I know that you've been saying a lot that Martha was gone for a year, which is true. She was in a walk around for a year. But what they've established here is that from the day Martha left to now, when she's staying with her family, is a total of 5 days.
Yeah.
Which is, like, she's had a busy week.
Yes.
You know, she's earned that weekend.
Yeah. It has been 5 days. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, because they say...
It's been 5 days. Is her apartment still blown to smithereens? Yes, because that happened before the president was assassinated.
That did indeed happen before the president was assassinated.
So she also doesn't have a place to live. She has to move back in with her parents.
Yeah, or her parents at least have to help her put it back together.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they owe her one. Yeah. Or a few. And then the doctor pushes his buttons all sadly on the TARDIS console again. And then a boat crashes into the side of the TARDIS.
And now presumably the TARDIS was the iceberg all along.
Or the TARDIS was, what's that?
No, because the thing said SS Titanic.
I know, I was going to say the TARDIS was that submarine that went down with the rich people in it.
Oh my god, Ocean Gate.
Yeah, so yeah, the TARDIS was the Ocean Gate sub. he was the rich man who exploded all along. So what did you think about the finale overall?
So my overall reaction on this whole thing was this was absolutely fine. There are a lot of parts of this three-parter that did remind me of the classic series and the things that I found charming about those.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love to see the raw footage of David Tennant, both not in old age makeup and then again in old age makeup, completely freaking out.
Wow!
I would really love to see that. I'm excited to see if and when the Master returns.
Yeah, and then we can also talk a little bit about what you thought about this season as a whole. Because next up, Max still has this classified as, you know, the end of the season, but really it's its own thing. The next thing is a Christmas special. So we've really gone through all of season three here. I think if I were to make a choice, had we watched this like outside of the podcast, I probably would have just started you in season three.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like a way better. Because it feels like the show's
tighter.
Yeah, the show's found itself a little bit more. It's got its pacing down.
Which also sucks because, like, I was talking to somebody earlier today just about how much I really like Rose Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she is, especially at that time, like, learning more about the culture around this particular show in the context of the girlies that went crazy after this, Supernatural and Sherlock, I can 100% see how and why Rose was like the audience surrogate for that particular demographic of girl. Just because she's very easy to identify with and plug yourself in and say, yes, like I can see myself in that same situation and making those same choices.
Yeah.
Martha's a little bit harder to do that with, but that's just because she's meant for more like somebody our age who is coming out of school, like, you know, second, third school and feels a little bit more like, oh yeah, she's got actual wherewithal, wisdom and intelligence. So she's not making impulsive decisions. Martha's flaws more or less just come from the fact that she's so hung up on the doctor, and for whatever reason that kind of becomes her only character trait.
It becomes her most recurring one, at least.
Yeah.
Because yeah, which is unfortunate.
She said at the end that, like, oh, I was training to be a doctor. And I went, oh, yeah, she is training to be a doctor.
Instead of what she's been doing all season, which is training to handle the Dr. Sonic screwdriver.
New choice. That was stupid.
trying to get the doctor inside her TARDIS.
See, now my joke has more pegging involved, but I was going to say she's training to be a doctor when really she's also been training to be in the doctor.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. That's also provided that the doctor enjoys pegging, which the number of times he refers to the master as master in a way that made me feel like he's not just saying his name.
Especially because of how often the master goes, I like when you say my name.
Neil. Oh my God. Yes, sir. Dommy mommy, who is she?
I do really feel like this was, I feel like this was the season also where it seemed like you started to really like the show. Like, it wasn't just a thing we were doing anymore. It seemed like you were kind of like,
it feels less like homework now. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm really excited because next season's a really, really strong one. The season after that's also really, really strong. Like, those are, I think most people's favorite seasons are seasons 4 and 5. So I'm really excited to get to those with you. But next, we got to find out what's going on that boat.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Titanic.
The Hums Titanic.
I ain't never heard of that.
Well, we will find out together what happens on that boat. Next time we'll have a little treat, too, because in addition to the Christmas special, they also had a little charity short that happened that basically was supposed to happen between when Martha left and when the boat crashed in there. So I think that'll be fun for you because you get to see another classic Doctor you haven't seen before.
Oh, fun.
So we will check that out along with Voyage of the Damned on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I still believe in doctors.
I still believe in doctor. I do. I do. I do believe in doctor.
Holy cow, 35 episodes. I know I was sort of joking at the beginning about this being a celebration when it's really just an episode that's twice as long as our usual episodes. But, you know, the more I think about it, a lot of shows, podcasts or otherwise, don't make it to 35 episodes. It's genuinely kind of wild for me to think about. I hope you've been enjoying listening to it as much as we've enjoyed making it. If you did, please give us 5 stars to help the algorithm lead us to other Whovians out there. You can also find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WimDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Next week, we're taking a little cruise together as we go on the Voyage of the Damned. It'll be Christmas in July. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.